In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is our gospel lesson for today, continuing in the Gospel of St. Matthew. This morning we read in the fourth chapter, beginning at verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. This is God's word. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God, nothing would put a stop to the work in the kingdom of heaven. Herod Antipas, the son of Herod the Great, who had ordered the deaths of the babies in Bethlehem, was now the tetrarch of the northern province of Galilee. And because of John the Baptist's faithful confession of the word of God and accusing Herod of adultery with his brother's wife, Herod had thrown John into prison, soon to be beheaded. But nothing could stop the work of the kingdom of heaven. Someone else would take it over. He had received the anointing of the Spirit and power by his Father at his holy baptism. The Holy Spirit had led him out into the wilderness, and for us as our substitute, he had overcome Satan's temptations to sin so that we are forgiven when we foolishly give in to those temptations. Now, Matthew says, from that time on, John didn't preach anymore, but Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Continuing on the same message of John the Baptist. Jesus began this preaching as he left Judea and traveled up to that northern province of Galilee. This fulfilled scripture. Galilee was the area that, when Jacob divided the promised land up among his sons, had given to his sons Naphtali and Zebulun. And that area was between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. It was a major trade route. And so Galilee was filled with Gentiles mixed in among the Jews. And the Gentiles especially were living in darkness of sin and unbelief because they were not part of God's chosen people that had received the Old Testament with its promises. And so early and through much of his ministry, Jesus became that light that dawned on those Gentile unbelievers near the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus would call his first disciples from among the Jews who lived up there in that region. Jesus spent a lot of time being the great light that dawned on the Gentiles living in the darkness of unbelief. There, when Jesus returned, he met Simon, whom Jesus earlier had named Peter, and his brother Andrew. As we'll see in a minute, earlier Jesus had already met these men and had talked with them and called them to be believers. They had recognized Jesus as the Messiah. Recall the gospel lesson last Sunday from the Gospel of John. When Andrew said to Peter, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." When Jesus first met Andrew and Peter, through the Holy Spirit, he brought them to saving faith in him as the Messiah. Now Jesus would gather them up. We might say confiscate them as his disciples, as his full-time students who would be with him during his public ministry. And so in our gospel lesson this morning, what we really have here is Jesus' progressive messianic confiscation. We see, first of all, that it comes through the call the Savior extends. And we see that it comes with the result of discipleship. We have no way, really, of knowing what was on the minds of Andrew and Simon, now called Peter, when Jesus came to them this second time. But we do know that earlier, when Jesus had met them, from Andrew's confession and from their sharing Christ with their friends, that the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, had confiscated their wills. That Jesus had control now and given them new wills as believers. I don't know if any of you were thinking as we were singing our sermon hymn, you know, that's the same tune as the hymn, "Lord, 'tis not that I did choose you, that I know could never be." And that's really the message here of Jesus' progressive messianic confiscation. That it comes through the call that the Savior extends and gives us new wills. Jesus is that light shining in darkness, and the Holy Spirit made Andrew and Simon, and also then later John and his brother, made them recognize that Jesus is that light, and that they had to walk in that light, or that they would die. When Jesus called them, "Come, follow me," they had no choice because Jesus was gathering them to himself. Jesus was confiscating these believers and these fishermen to him first, now as his students. There's really no difference between somebody being a believer and somebody being a disciple, although disciple carries with it that particular idea of being a student. Now these men, Peter and Andrew and James and John, would follow Jesus not only as believers, but they would give up their occupations as fishermen. They would leave behind their boats and their nets, and James and his brother John would leave behind even their family, their father, Zebedee. Jesus, with his call, had shaped them in the mold of repentance, of turning to him, of trusting in him as the Messiah. They were not the active agents in their conversion. They did not contribute one bit to becoming the disciples of Christ. This was Jesus' call to repentance. the call the Savior extended to be in the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus says and calls us, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, the power of that call works repentance in our hearts and moves us to follow Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is the manifestation of God's kindness that turns the unbelieving heart to repentance. It is that call to repentance, that kindness that leads to repentance, as Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 2, verse 4. Our turning to Christ, our following Christ, is because of Jesus' progressive messianic confiscation in that call that he extended to us, most of us in our holy baptisms, but to others as he calls us through the gospel, as he called them through the gospel. That call, as Paul says, the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Now you and I, when that call comes to us, think very much in our contrition, as did Peter when this call was extended to him. Luke records in greater detail this incident. Remember when Peter said, Lord, we've let the nets out, we've fished all night, nothing's happened, but because you say so, we will let down the nets. And then when Peter was dragging in that great catch, he said to Jesus, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You and I with Peter might feel and do feel that guilt and that shame of our sins. And we say to Jesus by nature, turn away from me. But by the power of the gospel, by the power of that call that Jesus extends to us, when he does not go away from us, but turns to us in that kindness, he works repentance. He works faith. He works our following him in our daily lives. Jesus does not depart from us in our shame and in our guilt, but Jesus' progressive messianic confrontation calls us to be his own and gathers us as subjects in the kingdom of heaven. That confiscation results in discipleship. There are really three phases of discipleship, if we want to call it that, when it comes to Jesus' first disciples. Remember I mentioned Jesus first met Andrew and Peter, and through the call extended to them, created faith in their hearts. And they recognized him and confessed him as the Messiah. And now later, Jesus meets them and calls them once again to follow him in a more public way, in a more full-time way, so that he could teach them and instruct them, prepare them to continue that progressive messianic confiscation by writing the Bible, by preaching that gospel to the Gentiles and to the Jews. What God gives in that discipleship, and what he gave them, progresses in us in our lives. We receive mercy, and so we are merciful. We receive peace, so we are peacemakers. Like them, we live our lives in Christ, following him so completely, so enthusiastically, so selflessly, like he did, that the world persecutes us and rejects us, just like it did our Savior. The Lord, the Messiah, called these men to be his disciples. And later, he would call them and eight others to be his apostles. An apostle means to be given authority from someone, and then that person sends you out with that authority as if he himself were extending it and using it. That's Jesus' messianic progressive confiscation through the gospel. He sent these 12 out into the world with that word of God. John had said, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is near." Jesus took that over, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." What do the apostles preach in their writings? "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." What do we preach? Because as Gentiles, we have heard that gospel. And that confiscation of the gospel has brought us into the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus would send them and us out with this command, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Jesus says, "Come, follow me," and gives us that. And then we go and make disciples of all nations in that call. This is the continuity of the kingdom of heaven. The light of Christ dawning over the darkness of nations living in the night of sin and unbelief. It is a triumphant progress of the royal gospel sent forth to renew and transfigure the world. It is the answer to our regular prayers. Our Father in heaven, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You and I are the fruits of the continuing progressive messianic gathering of the church by Christ. This confiscation has called us out of the darkness into the light. It has drawn us from our own wills to follow Christ's will. Discipleship is our intimate connection to Christ and our taking that connection into the world in service. Our discipleship is studying His Word and growing in our knowledge and taking that Word and knowledge in application that illuminates Satan's lies. Jesus did not seek us because we were what He wanted us to be. We are what Jesus wants us to be because Jesus sought us out in His love and called us to be His own. We aren't citizens in the kingdom of heaven because we repent. We repent because God has made us citizens in the kingdom of heaven. Through His Spirit, Jesus has called us to be His own. Unlike Peter and Andrew and James and John, and I guess in a way like me, you can't just leave your nets and your boats and follow Jesus full time. You can't be His full-time students and His full-time messengers as they and I are privileged to be. But you can do all this in the context of your vocations. You can do this in the context of your particular callings. You can learn from Him daily, and He empowers you as His disciples to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, a city set on a hill. You can manifest the kingdom of heaven and invite others for Jesus. Come, follow me. Amen.